Eugenic sterilization and the Great Depression hit America at about the same time, and they seemed to feed each other. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states were allowed to sterilize some mentally defective people in 1927. The Depression hit 2 years later. Indiana was housing large numbers of men and women who were deemed unfit to have children at the Indiana Schools for Feeble-Minded Youth at Fort Wayne and Muscatatuck, also some at the Indiana Village for Epileptics in Newcastle and Central State Hospital in Indianapolis. The Depression squeezed the state financially. Sterilization helped save money by releasing many of those patients. And a lot of the patients desperately wanted to go home. University of Michigan professor and director of the school's Center for the History of Medicine, Dr. Alexandra Ministern, reviewed 500 records of sterilization hearings that took place at the Muscatatuck home.
Authorities would say, well, do you want to leave the institution? And the patient would say yes. And then they'd say, okay, well, the only way to leave is to have the sterilization. Do you want it? And then the patient would finally say, yes, I'll have it.
Sterilization hearings went on steadily in the early years of the Depression. IU Bloomington Professor Emeritus of Applied Health Sciences Ruth Engs is the author of an encyclopedia of the eugenics movement. She says, at the time, it made sense for states to sterilize and release mentally unfit patients, and few people with influence questioned the practice. But, Eng says, as the Depression hit people on nearly all levels of society, more and more scientists begin to have doubts about eugenic theories.
Scientists realize that not everything is passed down genetically, and here we're middle-class people now out of jobs, and obviously it wasn't for lack of motivation.
Dr. William Schneider agrees. He's a core faculty member of the Indiana University Center for Bioethics at IUPUI. Schneider organized a symposium to look back at Indiana's eugenic sterilization program this year. He says scientists in the 1930s began to doubt there was any real proof behind eugenic theories being used here in the U.S. and abroad.
But of course, the big change that occurred came during the Second World War, when the Nazis and the fascists, even before that, did all sorts of things in the name of eugenics and racism, ultimately coming to extermination.
The evidence of the Nazi genocide of European Jews, sterilization, euthanasia of those with disabilities, and genetic experimentation on children doused the fervor of most eugenic sterilization supporters, as this clip from an American propaganda film makes clear.
Look out for that country behind you. Look out for the Poles.
Play religion against religion. Turn Protestant against Catholic. And both against Jew. A weapon of war. Play race against race.
Aryan. This way.
Despite the discovery of the Holocaust, sterilizations continued at a steady rate in Indiana and other states throughout the 1950s. But they were less talked about. By the 1960s, civil rights and patients' rights groups were putting pressure on lawmakers to repeal sterilization laws. Things began to change. Governor Otis Bowen repealed Indiana's eugenic sterilization law in 1974 with little fanfare. The state waited another 33 years to apologize for the eugenic sterilization program. However, one woman never got an apology from those responsible for her sterilization. Jamie Renee Coleman's mother asked a judge to sterilize her daughter in 1971.
You know, she said, just keep it a secret. You know, what secret? Jesus, just got married. My husband's wanting kids. How in the heck am I going to keep this a secret, you know?
The story of Jamie Renee Coleman, next time on Indiana Eugenics. For WFYI News, I'm Mary Hartnett.